what's happening, Africa. This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. You're listening to Upfront, the hottest program on the Voice of America. We like to keep it real by being straight and to the point. Thank you all for joining us today. We're going to listen to your views and discuss them on the show.
Now, we all know that getting a good education is important in life. A good education will ensure that you are equipped with the right skills for a career. And for many years around the African continent, governments controlled education and the institutions that provide education. That's why we have ministries of education whose sole purpose is to oversee the education in a country. And except for a few religious institutions here and there, education was primarily controlled by the state. But over the past two decades, we have seen new players in Africa's education sector. Companies and individuals have started investing in education in countries with little or no previous experience with non-governmental involvement in the education sector. The proliferation of private supported education activities represents a de facto policy change. A new actor is taking on educational responsibilities that were once the purview of the state. And so for these two decades, we've seen hundreds of educational institutions from primary to university level springing up around the African continent. These new private institutions are actively competing for students with their public counterparts. This means that you have the option to go to a private school or a public school. But does it also mean that you receive the same quality of education? On the show today, we want to look at the differences between education in public schools and private schools in Africa. Let's talk. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Private school in Uganda, especially in Africa, public schools do not have facilities. The teachers are poorly paid, so they are not inspired to do their work. And yet, in private schools, there is everything you need in class for you to perform well.
Since you pay a large sum of money, and you can get a bit of the services, and you have the right to demand for those services. But in the public school, because many are funded by government, and there is no way you can go in and then start demanding for better services, like maybe better food, better accommodation. But here, if I told you injecting a lot of money, your own money, you have the right to demand those services.
Private school, I think private, because yes, it involves giving in some money, but it comes with good services. I think so, because at least, first of all, the teachers are committed. They have something that pushes them to work. There is better pay for the teachers, so they are somehow motivated, and at the end of the day, they teach very well.
Private school is better, but you know the public schools then were good schools, but when it came to the UPE thing, it is not anywhere next to good, I presume so, especially with these days, because public schools, when it comes to results, they're really doing so badly. Yeah, it's because they think, because it's a UPE kind of thing, they just have to get kids go through and not attending to particular kids, weak students like they used to before.
But I think private school is better because they concentrate on what they are doing, on their business.
To me, both private, because private schools, kids get facilities in time, unlike the government schools, whether they have to wait for the minister to do what, the DEO to do what. So private schools are better.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Nadia Sami in South Africa. Thank you for joining us today, and a big shout out to our listeners who contribute their opinions on our topic of discussion each week. As Jackson said earlier, we're looking at the difference between attending public or private school. Now, both institutions, of course, ultimately are responsible for educating our youth around the continent. That's the primary goal. Some studies have shown that the type of school a young person attends in fact affects the way they proceed in their later life and how well they do in later life. Now, in many countries, private and public schools follow the same curriculum, but the difference is in the way that syllabus is actually communicated to children, to students, the way they taught. And also the other difference is the environment in which they taught, the resources that they have at their disposal, whether they have laboratories, whether they have physical training, etc., etc. And so all those circumstances provide come together to provide a certain experience, and we see those experiences manifesting differently in public and private institutions in many cases. Jackson, not in all cases, but in many cases.
Right, Nadia, the other difference I see is the amount of resources available. Many of our listeners who have contributed to the show today agree that public schools generally complain of a lack of resources, whether it's textbooks to teachers, salaries. It's often hard to find a public educational institution that is well-funded. Does it mean that you receive less of an education in a public institution than you would in a private school?
On the phone with me is Natasha. She is a product of the private school system, but she understands how the public school system works. So, Natasha, yourself being a product of the private school system, what advantage do you feel you have over your compatriots or your friends who went to public schools?
Thanks, Jackson. Well, I think the only difference between public schools and private schools is the lenience towards the student. The private students receive more. We have a curriculum that we need to follow, but then we have more like of a diversity in what we want to study. We can choose which areas would like to concentrate on, rather than public schools where it's like a schedule, it's like a curriculum you have to follow.
So you're saying you're more flexible in what you can study or what times you can study?
In what we choose to study.
Okay, so there's a better range of subjects.
Exactly. There's a more range of subjects, and the student is given that choice.
So in public schools, they don't give you that choice?
I don't think so.
Is it pretty much set in stone?
It's pretty much set in stone because of the number of students, and the student-teacher ratio does not really allow for the teachers to be as flexible with each student as it is in private schools.
And student-class ratio, you're talking about how many students are in the classroom per teacher, and generally it's known that in most public schools there are more students. A teacher has a bigger student load than in private schools.
Yeah, definitely. Like in Rwanda, back home, I went to a public school where the ratio per student per teacher was like maybe around 15 students to one teacher, which is still high in compared to the ratios in America, but compared to other public schools in Kigali, where it's like 40-1.
So you say private schools were 15-1, but public schools, your private school was 15-1, but public yes. schools in the same region were around 40-50-1.
Exactly, where you could have up to 40 students in one classroom.
And so the teacher pays more attention to the student than, say, in a class where everybody, you have very many students.
Of course, yeah. where the teacher knows, can get to know you on a more personal level, understand your strengths and weaknesses, and, you know, better assist you in achieving your goals, whatever they may be.
Now, at the end of the year, when you take, you all have to take a national exam, no?
Well, that's also another difference. In my private school, we're given the choice of whether we wanted to take the national exams or not.
I didn't know that was an option.
In my private school, it was back in Kigali.
Okay. So private schools have an option to opt out of the national exam system.
And exactly.
Do you feel you miss out on something, on anything by not taking part in that?
Oh, well, I chose to take my national exams.
You personally chose to?
I personally chose to, but I also qualified because I believe in my private school. The Green Hills, where I went to primary school, I guess I would call it, you had to have a particular average, like percentage grades to take the exams, and I qualified for them. But then you also had to accept to take them, which I wanted to.
So you felt you were on the same standard or level with your friends in public schools, and you wanted to prove yourself?
Not necessarily. I felt like I could handle it, and I just wanted to experience what it was, because my sister had taken them. But I'd never really thought about comparing my education to the public sector, because I always felt like the people in private schools were more better read, we had more materials, you have had access to computers where public students, students from public schools might not have.
Okay.
And I felt like we had a bigger library, for example. So it wasn't really about comparing where my, I guess, level of intellect is compared to students that go to public schools.
So you had better access to information, to knowledge. You had textbooks and computers. Now, in real life, how did that translate? If I'm quite sure you had so many friends who went to public schools. Did you feel you were different from them in terms of your understanding of your environment or things around you?
Academically wise, I don't believe we were any different. But I also found that we had more... we're more knowledgeable on some some aspects of the academia, in terms of math and sciences. I believe we're almost on the same level, but we, in terms of literature and history and stuff like that, I feel like we're more advanced, because in our private schools we debated, which most public schools didn't have at the time, but I think now they've kind of incorporated in it. And in terms of, linguistics, I feel like we spoke better English and French from private schools than public school students.
You had better teachers of
linguistics?
We had better
teachers. We had better material to learn from. And we had a variety in tools to access our education. Like, for example, we could watch movies. We had a library. We did field trips, which students from public schools were not afforded.
Now, there's a feeling among many people that once you go to private schools, you're kind of there's a firewall between you and society and mainstream society. You're kind of guarded, and that you're not exposed to the real society, so to say.
Well, in terms of social skills,
right?
Well, that's accurate. That's correct, because the school I went to, it was very guarded. Like, we had toll gates and guards at the doors. But and we did not really learn about our culture per se, like the Rwandese culture, and we didn't really get to experience what average Rwandese students our age experienced. Like, we didn't get to play the games they played. We didn't do things they did because of that whole guarded. And in terms of social skills, we would be surrounded by the same kind of people we were, the same people that went to those private schools. So in that aspect, that's very correct. And I guess you could say we didn't really leave the actual life in Rwanda, I guess you'd say, the average day-to-day life that average Rwandans live.
attended a private school. I think a private school is better because there is more pressure from the private owners as they want to produce better results. Yeah, kids in private schools get better education because the competition is too high in those private schools. They want to excel in everything. The problem with the public schools, most of the teachers do not give enough time to the kids. They have more than one job, so they give a very limited time to the children and they end up with the poor results.
Here in Uganda, yes, as I told you that these government funds, they don't come in time. You understand what I'm saying? But with these private schools, funds come in time. I think the ones in charge, or the ministry, they can say the ministry. The problem is with the ministry.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Because there's everything that you need in class. For example, for those who do science subjects, you have all the equipment you need in the labs. And if for public schools, government does not facilitate them. They don't get the funds they need to do their work. Plus, the teachers rarely, rarely attend classes. So the kids don't get the education that they need. The problem with public schools is poor facilitation. Government does not give them the funds they need to inspire the teachers. They do not take equipment there in the labs. They do not have scholastic materials. They do not have the necessary textbooks to study. You make my head come down. You make my head go.
Very good services, first of all, because the teachers are demotivated, like I said. They are paid very poorly and sometimes not on time, so they come to schools when they are already tired and they really do not want to work. The poor pay demotivates them.
Much as some of the funds are subsidized by government, and there is no way you can go in and then you start demanding for such good services, yet you injected in very little money. Public schools, most especially, it's government policy that is affecting these schools, because you find most of the schools, when the students don't pay some money for the meals, and there is no way you can have better meals if at all you don't inject in some money for the meals. The accommodation as well, you can see most of the private schools have these parents and teachers association whereby you can channel in your demands through such bodies, but for public schools it's very, very difficult. And also, I also consider more concerning on the government policy, you find that the administration also has a problem. Many of the guys there just embezzle with the funds without someone bringing them to be accountable for such funds. But if I told you someone's school, they have to make sure that they're accountable for the funds, in that they follow each and every expenditure and provide good services to the students to attract more students to come to such a school.
They get over-educated. They give them more than at times they need, because some private schools start at 6 a.m. and end way past 6 p.m. So I think they get too much, sometimes more than what they need. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks to all our listeners who've sent in their opinions. We appreciate it so much. We love to hear from you. Now, like we said earlier, we see many differences in both educational approaches. But to follow up on what Jackson said earlier, the most important and probably the most striking discrepancy between public and private schools comes down to the issue of funding. Now, the good news for parents is that public schools often charge a reduced rate. They charge less than private schools, or in some cases, in some countries that have universal education programs, there is no tuition. Tuition up to a certain level, and sometimes including the full schooling career, is actually free of charge. So in many cases, in some cases, students, regardless of the economic status or the economic status of their families, can be guaranteed an education. The bad news, though, is that public schools are often underfunded, understaffed. You see overcrowding in classrooms, Jackson, and also operations are influenced in some cases by politics. I'll give you an example here in South Africa, Jackson. We had an example just recently, this year, in fact, where some of our public schools in the Limpopo province were actually not given their textbooks for months. I think it was more than halfway into the school year, and there were students of all grades and all ages in the Limpopo province attending public schools who, in fact, were had not received textbooks and were doing their lessons without the required textbooks, expected to write exams, yet they had not received textbooks. And that was due to administrative bungling, really. It came down to bungling. It came down to the department not being able to carry out their mandate, and the children suffered in the end. Now, we didn't see a case like that carry out in or play out in the private education sector.
One of the advantages that private schools have over public schools is that investors, the owners of these schools, can afford to sink more resources into education and educational material, because private schools are not financed through federal taxes, nor are they part of a larger school system, which many say that if you're part of a larger school system and you receive money from the government, you function as a part of a government, and many times you don't have to follow regulations set by politicians or politics of the time.
Up front of the Voice of America, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. In the studio is my friend Henok Fente, a product of the public school system in his home country of Ethiopia. Proud product, so
proud,
to say.
Very proud.
Let me ask you, do you feel that you were given adequate knowledge to compete with your counterparts from private institutions when you reached university level?
In Ethiopia, the situation is different. You have public schools, that is the best school system that you have. And then you have the private schools for those who didn't make it to the public schools.
Okay, now, so it's one of the very few instances I've had anybody say that public schools are actually better in...
Especially higher education, yes. Anybody who went to private school would be considered to someone who actually went to a community college, or it's a different concept. Those who can make it, the best and the brightest that Ethiopia has, go to public schools in the secondary education, higher education. Now, when it comes to the elementary education, of course, it's a bit of a mix. I do have some classmates who went to private school elementary and came to a public school for high school, because the public school high schools are much better than the private ones.
So explain to me how the process goes. So in there's a standardized exam or national exam that you have to do then you qualify to go to public school, and if you're not, then you have to find your way, which is private school.
So this is how it works. So when you're a sixth grader, there is a national exam, eighth grade.
Right.
This is in the old curriculum.
Which is the primary leaving exam.
Yes.
In some countries.
And then 12th grade, the end of it, they take a national exam. So this is, on average, the number of students from private schools that go to college, if we're talking about ratio, are higher. Because, you know, the public schools have, you know, you have the gangsters, you have the brilliant students, you have the average student, it has everyone. The private schools, the students tend to be students who come from middle-income families or upper middle-class income families.
The rich kids, basically.
Those are the rich kids.
Mm.
And we call them in school the spoiled ones. Not necessarily everyone who comes from a private school is a spoiled one. But when you look at your leaders, who's leading your college newspaper, who's the editor, if you look at who's the president of the University Students Council Association, when we talk about leadership, we have a lot of people who went through the public school system. I mean, I think in many African countries that could be the case. The public school systems are the best.
That's quite fascinating. So are there more private schools or more public schools?
There are more public schools. Sometimes, you know, in many African countries, private schools are a way where the middle class families find an option for public problems.
Very interesting way to put it. Okay.
Yes, because, you know, the infrastructure is not there in the public schools. However, these kids get everything that they want. And when it comes to that drive to lead, to bring about change, and knowing your country and your people, living amongst the people and understanding the problem that the country faces, which in the future prepares you to be a leader in whatever it is that you do. It could be in business, it could be in politics, it could be in engineering, whatever field that you choose. In order to lead, in order to come up with innovative ideas, you really need to understand what the problems are.
So you're saying
there's a level of detachment.
Private school graduates are disconnected from mainstream society. There's a tendency to be disconnected.
Unfortunately so. And I do have a number of examples to cite for you from some of my friends who are, you know, very smart people who haven't actually left the capital Addis. The only other place that they went is, yes, when they went for a retreat somewhere in the Rift Valley Lakes. These are the only two places that they know. Now, talk about understanding your country, your people, and then trying to bring about change with that kind of, no matter how smart you are, no matter how the infrastructures that you were given education are convenient to you and to your learning, period, you're not going to be a leader.
Why don't parents then fight to get their students or their children
into
the public schools?
Because the most important thing is that your children go to college. Otherwise, when you send them to public school, you're risking it unless they have the commitment.
As you say, Jackson, it does come down to funding. I think any family who can afford to send their child to either private school or to one of the more prestigious public schools would do so. But it's a matter of funding. Of course, we're in many cases, and around the continent, you see where there are free of charge schools, you don't have as much resources. You don't want your child to go and sit in a class with 75 other pupils, not being able to hear, not being able to get that individualized attention. And so it's a tough call for parents as well when making that choice of where to send their school, where to send their kids, because it comes down to a matter of affordability, but that also versus the future of your child, because at the end of the day, the quality of education he or she will get will have an impact on the type of life they lead.
Thank you very much, Nadia. And on that note, I want to thank all our listeners and all our contributors to the show today. We'll catch you again next week right here on The Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @UpfrontAfrica. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com. Until next time, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. Goodbye.